It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Locked On Heat. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here with my co-host, David Ramil. We are having an immediate reaction to the trade deadline. David, do you know what's just happened here?
No, I have no idea. I can't believe what we're hearing is happening. But at the same time,
Wade is back. He's back. Mr. 305. Dwayne Wade back on Biscayne Boulevard. This is nuts. This is insane. I never thought in all of my wildest dreams that this is what would be happening on the trade deadline. We prepared, you and I, several podcasts, hypothetical trades. I was on the trade machine for hours. Literally, I've spent probably 3 days worth of time in the last month on the trade machine. Never, not once did I slot Wade back to Miami. I can't believe what's happening here. Adrian Wojnarowski with the bomb of a lifetime. Wade is back.
The key under the mat still there, and Dwayne Wade coming back. Cleveland cleaning house. What we thought might be a very quiet trade deadline has exploded all of a sudden with Cleveland sending out a number of players. Isaiah Thomas going to the Lakers in exchange for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance. Rodney Hood going from Utah to Cleveland. I tweeted it out. It seems like the Cavs are both rebuilding and contending at the same time in midseason. It's insane. But the big move, of course, for Miami, acquiring Dwayne Wade for a 2020 second round pick that will never confer. It's just
heavily protected. Yeah,
heavily protected. Yeah, they'll never get that pick. But at the same time, what matters most is that they're bringing Wade back, that Wade specifically, reportedly, has requested a trade, knowing that the Cavaliers were going to be going with younger players, wanted to come back home. They sent the trade. No, it was just a goodwill move by the Cavaliers. You know, a guy who had been obviously, you know, he signed in Cleveland to help help LeBron win a title. Clearly, that's not going to happen, or it's more than likely that it's not going to happen with all the dysfunction this team has shown throughout the season. But it doesn't matter. The point is that Wade is back in Miami. He's there. He's going to be playing alongside Goran Dragic. He's going to be tossing lobs to Hassan Whiteside. All right, well, we assume, and there's still a couple hours left of this trade deadline, so who knows what might happen.
July 15th, 2016, Dwayne Wade signs with the Chicago Bulls. After a year, he signs with Cleveland. So from July 2016 to now, February 2018, what is that? Less than 2 years, right? Yep. So it's about, you know, a year and whatever months. Just a little vacation in Chicago and Cleveland for Dwayne Wade. But now he's back home. He's back home in Miami. You know, there's so much to digest about the deal. Where does he fit in on this roster? How does he help? Does he help? I mean, obviously, the first thing here is the emotional thing. Obviously, if you're, you know, you could tell from listening to this podcast, there is a huge emotional connection. If Wade asked the Cavaliers to trade him, the only logical place was Miami. And he had been, over the last few months, talking about returning to Miami and just flat out saying, I want to finish my career there. Yes, I want to go back there. Maybe that this might not have been a recent thing. I mean, the reports I'm seeing is the last night, the night before the trade deadline, he asked to get traded. But this has probably been brewing and festering for a while. He's been paying attention to the Heat since he's been gone. You know, he's still got an eye towards South Beach all the time. It just made sense. And look, I don't ever want to talk about the weird breakup that it was. And not to quote Ross from Friends, but we were on a break. And that's what this feels like. It just Wade and Riley needed a break. Maybe that's all it was. But in the end, Ross and Rachel get together. Wade and Riley, Wade and the Miami Heat get back together, and it just makes sense. And honestly, like, you know, you and I deciphering this trade deadline, analyzing it, what moves the Heat should make, what moves shouldn't they make, who should they trade, who should they target, all of that is schematic and looks good on the Excel spreadsheet. But every once in a while, you get something like this that just makes everybody feel good. In Miami, everybody's feeling great right now just to have Wade back. Your old dear friend. But then across the league, everybody was bummed that Wade left Miami in the first place. Nobody was happy. Not even Chicago Bulls fans were happy that they were getting Dwayne Wade. Everybody in the league is happy, I think, right now, just because this is something that makes sense. This is what it should be. Dwayne Wade should be with the Miami Heat, and now he is. And it's huge. But I do want to talk a little bit about what this means, how he fits to the, on this roster. He's going to help. That's the other great part about this. The Heat needed guys who could create off the dribble, initiate offense, create offense for themselves and for others. And look, Dwayne Wade can do that, not to the same degree that he used to be able to do it, not even in his not even since his last year in Miami, but he can still do it. And I think the Heat have a structure in place with enough shooting across the board here that there is a really good fit for Wade, who in a weird way is now replacing Deion Waiters, who replaced Dwayne Wade.
No, excellent point. Yeah, he comes in there and, if he sticks around beyond this season, obviously there could be the possibility that Wade would retire at the end of the season. But if he sticks around, could be there in a mentoring role for Deion Waiters. The exciting possibilities. I don't assume that he'll start, right? I think he's comfortable with the backup position. But, you know, the first home game is Friday night against the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be a big game, one, because Milwaukee is contending for a playoff spot. They're above Miami in the Eastern Conference standings right now. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo in the building, and then the return of Dwayne Wade. Does he get the starting nod? Does he get called out by Michael Biamonte over the speakers there at the American Airlines Arena?
Oh, my gosh.
The chills on his return there, maybe not comparable to LeBron coming back to Cleveland in 2014 for Cavs fans, but pretty – it's up there, right? I mean, it has to be up there for Dwayne Wade to come back. Man, I mean, for the past season and a half to be wiped clean and all of a sudden whatever happened, he gets to go in there now. He provides a closing mentality, right? He's a guy who can go in there and play some clutch minutes there for the team. He's got familiarity with almost everybody on the roster, right? With the exception of, I'm trying to think, James Johnson.
Right.
Kelly Olynyk.
James Johnson hasn't played with Kelly Olynyk, but hasn't played with Ellington, but he's played with so many different kinds of Ellingtons. So he'll be fine. Yeah. He'll figure it out. When Wade first left and we talked about the idea of him coming back, right? We always talked about,
it was going to happen. I mean, he knew it was going to happen. He even talked about it like the last time when Cleveland played Miami. He talked about the fact that whether it was going to be a Paul Pierce type deal where he would sign a one-day contract or whether he'd come back for another season, he knew he was coming to Miami. We just didn't expect it would be at the trade deadline.
Out of the blue. And we talked about the idea of if and when he comes back, does this sort of facilitate that eventual move to come off the bench, right? We were talking about that 2 years ago because we knew that was something that was sort of in the future for Dwayne Wade. He was obviously his skills were declining as he grew older. And eventually it just seemed like the next move for him for a scorer like him who can create off the dribble but isn't great defensively, just can't put forth the effort that he used to put in on that end. And then obviously can't really space the floor in certain lineups. It just made sense for him to be coming off the bench, but he just, when you're in Miami and you've been in Miami, you've just been the guy with the Heat forever for the last 13 years before he left. It's hard to facilitate that move off the bench. I mean, there's not a lot of guys who would be like Tony Parker and just say, look, Deontay Murray, take my spot in the starting lineup. And Wade wasn't going to do that, but with him leaving and now coming back, it's sort of, and leaving and going to Cleveland where he did come off the bench. He did willingly accept the role coming off the bench there. It kind of comes full circle now for the Heat to bring him off the bench. Now, maybe they start him still. They're starting Derek Jones Jr. while Tyler Johnson at shooting guard here and there. Maybe they start Wade. I think the best option is to bring him off the bench still. Do you think that's the best option to bring him off the bench?
I think you almost have to start him there just for the excitement of it against Milwaukee. Like whether or not you keep that move going later on or not, that changes things. And you could probably have that conversation with him beforehand, but I think he has to start. Like he has to be called last. And I think everybody's okay with that. I think everybody will have to accept that he'll be the starter. I could see him playing alongside Goran Dragic and Josh Richardson sliding over to the small forward spot alongside either Justice Winslow or the other player that Miami acquired via trade today, Luke Babbitt, coming in from Atlanta, another guy who was familiar with the Heat system. He could come in there and start at the power forward spot alongside Whiteside too. So some interesting possibilities. That's how I see it, to be honest with you. I think you kind of have to start him just for that one move. And then if nothing else, then you can go ahead and relegate him back to the bench later on.
When everybody gets healthy. We should mention going forward and that Dwayne Wade's is on an expiring deal.
Right.
So they are going to have to re-sign him back. And look, he's going to re-sign for whatever it is. He might be on the Haslam situation at this point, honestly, right? That Heat life or contract on the minimum.
Yeah.
But the Heat do need to find – look, this is the Heat are still strapped for cash. They made a move by swapping Okoro White for Luke Babbitt. That's – they basically – they have the same contract. Also, both the contracts were expiring. They are still going to have to make a move either before the deadline ends, and we were recording now about an hour and a half before the deadline closes, but and maybe there's still a move to be made, or they make a move over the summer in order to bring Wade back. They will still be able to re-sign him to the minimum if that's what he wants to accept, or they can offer him an exception. The problem with either one of those is that they're going to be really close right now to that luxury tax apron, and they don't want to pay that next year. So just something to keep in mind, right? We don't need to dive too deep into that situation, but just something to keep in mind. The other move that the Heat made, by the way, Luke Babbitt. So we've got our immediate reaction podcast that we're recording right now, David. We're going to be back tomorrow with a bigger breakdown of everything that's happened at the deadline, but we had to hop on here and talk about Dwayne Wade, but just Luke Babbitt and your reaction in 140 characters or less.
Luke Babbitt, you know, guy who could space the floor. He fits in immediately, comfort with Spoelstra and the system. My only concern is that they didn't bring him because Olynyk's injury might be worse than we expected.
Exactly. Look, I mean, you swap him for a guy like Okoro White, who was a nice player. We liked Okoro White, but he's been injured. He's been playing mostly in the G League. Just wasn't a factor for Miami this year. They need shooting. We've talked about that. Just you bring a guy on Luke Babbitt. He's gonna be sitting at the end of the bench, but every once in a while, if you need him, he's there. It's just another tool, another guy to have if the Heat are going to be making this playoff run that they hope to make.
Yeah.
So overall, a good move and some insurance in case Olynyk's shoulder isn't that bad. I don't want to react too much into Olynyk because this was the deadline. So it's just an insurance policy in case maybe it's worse than they think. Okay. That's being an optimist, I think, about it. But Dwayne Wade's back. Can't say it enough. I'll never get tired of saying it. Do you want to say it one more time?
Sure. Dwayne Wade is back. I can't believe it. We never expected all the months of preceding talk, like you hinted at before. We've gone through every possible trade scenario. We traded Hassan Whiteside 1,000 times. And I love the reaction from that Hassan provided to Anthony Chang, friend of the program, when told about the Dwayne Wade acquisition. Whiteside's reaction, what? For real? You're telling the truth? Like, he had no idea. The players were completely shocked by this. I think... Look, because of the familiarity with the Heat, the culture, the system, everything else, he should fit in immediately. Aside from the buzz and the excitement, there's going to be a little turmoil in that locker room, I suppose, because he comes in there with a different personality. But I think the last 2 years have been humbling, just because of he's no longer the player he once was. He can understand his role a little bit better there. I'm sure he's going to be a really stabilizing factor, and I think he's going to help out. Like, he's been so supportive of a guy like Goran Dragic. I expect him to kind of understand that he's going to take a backseat to Goran, let him be the leader of this team, and just play his role. It should be an exciting time for Miami fans. If nothing else, look, if they don't make another move, if they don't get rid of Tyler Johnson's huge contract, or if they don't move Hassan Whiteside for Kevin Love or whatever, at the very least, they've brought Dwayne Wade back, and that's an exciting time for Miami fans.
Yeah, it saves face in front of the Heat fans, too, who were expecting Absolutely. Some sort of move after 5 straight losses here. And look, in a season that is basically the ending is written, right? We know that the Warriors are winning the finals. These are the sort of things, the feel-good stories that just make the NBA great. And that's what I'm going to close it on. We'll be back tomorrow with a breakdown of everything that happens at the NBA trade line. We'll go more in depth on Dwayne Wade. We'll go more in depth on Luke Babbitt and everything else that happens across the league. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for joining us. Tune in tomorrow. Have a good one, David.
Thank you, Wes.